straddling the fence. And the Holy Ghost has instructed me to tell you that just because the music stopped playing doesn't mean he doesn't want an answer.
Amen. Amen.
For some of you, God is waiting for your yes. Some of you have gotten impatient already and you're thinking, why doesn't he get started? Why doesn't he move along? Because God said to tell you he's waiting for your answer. Because the music stopped playing, God says, I'm not through talking. God is waiting for your answer. And it's time to get off the fence. It's a simple question. Will you say yes? God is waiting for your answer. The Holy Spirit just gave me another one. You can't keep asking God to answer you if you won't answer him. You can't keep asking God to answer you if you won't answer him. Will your heart say yes? This is not about Greater Brookville. This is about the Lord. God is waiting for your answer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has informed me that some of you want to say no, but you're scared to say no. But he says, I know your heart. I just want you to know what I know about you so I can help you. Now, not every heart's going to say yes. But be encouraged to know this, that the Lord is your helper and he will not fail. There is more that he requires of all of us. And he's waiting for an answer. I told the Christian Academy this morning, I better share it with you, that just because you're in the room doesn't mean you're in the relationship. And God is waiting for an answer. And I just want to let you know that he'll help you. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I really came to help you. God is waiting for your answer. Can we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, as your spirit is moving in this room, you demand an answer. So God, I pray, as pastor over this people, the sheep need a shepherd. And so God, I pray they'll give you an answer. I cannot answer for them. I cannot imagine why they would say no, but God, that they would give you an answer. And that their integrity would win the day. There is more that you require. But God, I hear you saying that as much as you require more, you're giving more. You're not asking for bread and giving them a stone. You're not asking for anything that you won't equip them to give. And so, God, I pray for this people, and we pray for each other, that we can give you an answer, and that our answer will be for all eternity, and that we'll never turn from this way again. Save somebody today. Change a life today. Lift someone from the dungeon, the pits, today, that they would come to know that Jesus is Lord today. That they hear your voice, they won't harden their hearts, but today they will say yes. Father, now it's preaching time, and just ask you to bless afresh. Give us, Lord, the power to persuade men, women, boys, and girls to accept the offer of the Divine One. For you came for us that we might go with you someday. Oh, God, bless this few moments we have to share. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles, brothers and sisters. I don't have much time left today. I know that you're busy. You've got things on the agenda. In the First Corinthian letter, in what will be the final offering of this particular letter in the 16th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul writes to the church, so you fire up your tablets, your smartphones, your Christmas devices, pull up your Bible app, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you. You're more than welcome to use it. If you're not familiar with navigating, somebody standing next to you, one of the friendly and loving disciples of Greater Brookville will be more than happy to let you look on with them. But either way, or either way, I want everybody to focus on the Word. It's time for us to start doing it together. That way we will be more effective and efficient in getting it done. Amen. No hand should be empty. A Bible in every hand, a tablet, a smartphone, or something. But look over with your neighbor. Don't ignore the Word. That's what you've come for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want to start at verse 5. And if your Bible has highlights or what I like to call the coming attraction notices, it says Paul's final instructions. And so it is, beginning at verse 5 of the New Living Translation. Sister Carrie, this is what the Word says. I am coming to visit you after I have been to Macedonia, for I'm planning to travel through Macedonia. It could be that I will stay a while with you, perhaps all winter, and then you can send me on my way to the next destination. This time, I don't want to make just a short visit and then go right on. I want to come and stay a while if the Lord will let me. In the meantime, I will be staying here at Ephesus until the festival of Pentecost. For there is a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding. But there are many who oppose me. God bless you. You may be seated. Some of us are in church for the first time in 2016, and as tradition would have it in the African-American church that we all love, we are accustomed to coming into that first service with great expectations. We're coming to expect that our pastor, our preacher, will preach for us a great cheerleading sermon to fire us up and inspire us for the next 360 plus days. We come on the first Sunday somewhat symbolic as to what I mentioned earlier, that our grandparents and the old saints of old would say that how we began has a lot to determine as to how we will not only finish, but how we run. We've come on this first Sunday because some of us did not come to the watch night service. We were not there at the changing of the guard and the resettling of the alignment of the clocks. And so this is our first visit to the house of the Lord, and we've come to say, help us. We've come to say to God, we're listening. We've come to declare, as the gospel writer would declare in the old book, is there a word from the Lord? We have made our resolutions. We have made our statements of affirmation. We have spoken, and now we must do. And so we've come on this first Sunday, and we expect that our pastor will give us something that we might run on and see what the end shall be. Well, I am honored that you have come with such expectations. And it is my intention to fulfill those very expectations. But alas, the clock is against me. But I'll find a way. I'll find a way. And I would help you to understand, beloved of God, that because you're in this room on this day, God is saying something to you that you ought not ignore. What is he saying to you, Melvin? He's saying to you, as simple as the nose on your face, I can work with you. What I need you to hear me say, and what I need you to not think you heard me say, I didn't say that God is going to bless you. He's already going to do that. I didn't say that you're here now, you're going to get that car, you're going to get that job, everything going to be just fine. I'm telling you now that God is saying, I can work with you. I can help you. I hear God saying to all of you in this room that it is not over. It just continues. Y'all too old to say it just getting started. You've been around too long. But it continues because, as Paul says, there's an opportunity to do greater things. Nudge your neighbor and tell him this is an opportunistic time. As I said to you several weeks ago, you need to start sitting around folk that don't just talk about you, that will talk to you. All I asked him to do was just encourage you just now. And if you sitting by anybody who wouldn't even crook their neck or punch you with their elbow, you might ought to rethink that relationship. Because everybody needs a cheerleader. Everybody needs somebody to spur them on. Because sometimes your own music you can't dance to. And so it is, beloved of God, that you're here. And I hear the Lord saying, we can make it happen. Can I ask a question before I get too involved? Is there anybody here that wants to make it happen? Can I tell you that some folk didn't raise their hand? Some folk don't care one way or the other whether this church lives or dies, as long as they can get what they want. But I've come to put you on notice that it's not about you. You aren't the big deal. You're not the only one. It's all about God. And only what we do for God is going to make a difference. There's an opportunity here. Let me move along here. Paul says something here unlike anything he's ever said before. Paul says to this church, it's the It's the closing argument of this particular series of writings that he makes. And he says to them, I really want to get it done. He said, I don't want to come and just breeze through. I want to stay a while. I want to put in fruitful labor because I believe there's an opportunity. And so it is, beloved of God, I would encourage you on this first Sunday in 2016 to know that the language of Paul is fitting for the times in which we live. Paul does not address the economy. He does not address particular environments. He does not address particular things that are egregious to the church. He simply says, man, we can do something. In the language of those who sit near you, that's all I'm trying to tell you. Man, we can do something. I would ask you to look at somebody and say that much, but you didn't want to do that first one, so you probably ain't going to want to do this one either. But if I were you, I wouldn't want to sit around anybody that couldn't at least look at me and say, man, we can do something. Man, this is our moment. This is our chance. This is what we have lived for, that we can do something and give God a greater glory. Can I work with it a little bit? Paul says, Deacon Davis to the church at Ephesus, he mentioned something that's kind of intriguing. It's kind of inviting. It has a lot wrapped up in it when he says to them that they've got to be careful how they live and not to live as fools. Now watch this now. He says, but to live like those who are wise. But it's what he says in verse 16, Stacy, that made me jump up out of my chair. He said, listen, you've got to make the most of every opportunity. Nudge somebody that will accept your nudge and tell them, don't lose it, but use it. Paul said to them, he said, don't be stupid. Don't make a mess of this thing. He said, you've got to make the most of every opportunity. And then he says in verse 17, Dr. Dixon, but you got to learn how to capitalize by understanding what the Lord wants you to do. Yes, sir, that's good preaching right there. Paul says we have to be very mindful how we live. Paul says we got to take advantage of every opportunity, but the key is understanding what the Lord wants you to do. Make the most of every opportunity. Every one of you in here are gifted. Now, some of y'all looking at me with shade. I'm telling you now, this ain't no prophecy. This ain't no hocus pocus. I'm not going to try to get you to walk up here and give no money. I'm just telling you now, by the authority of the God I serve, that every one of you in here are gifted. The Bible says, when he ascended, he gave gifts to men. Those of you who are gender biased and women. Everybody in this room on this Sunday, and next Sunday, and next Sunday, and next Sunday is gifted. It's just what you're going to do with your gift. What you're going to do with it. And the problem is, if you don't recognize you got it, you ain't going to do nothing. Sitting around here feeling sorry for yourself because you can't sing like Harmony and Elizabeth, feeling sorry for yourself because you can't pray and preach. And you ain't got to feel sorry for yourself. You need to do something with yourself. Gird up your loins. Be encouraged in the spirit. Find your ministry. But you're gifted. Paul said you got to make the most of every opportunity. And the Lord says that you work hard. This is the word of the Lord. He said, you work hard and make sure that you go through the narrow door. Too many of us are looking for the easy way. Too many of us are looking for the it don't matter ministry. Too many of us have sat in this house month after month and Sunday after Sunday
and never contribute to the welfare of the ministry. Bible said that all of those gifts were given to do what? Help the church grow. This emptiness ought to be disturbing to all of us. The lack of financial gains, the inability to move forward and be consistent ought to bother all of us. Because the gifts were given, have been given, to help the church grow. The Bible tells us that if we're not helping, we're probably hindering. Jesus says, come through the narrow door. And then Paul comes along and tells the Galatian church, I'm trying to hurry. He says to the Galatian church, hey man, listen, don't get discouraged, because if we reap the harvest of blessings, they only come because we didn't give up. He said, we're going to reap a heart. He said, listen, we're grinding. We're working hard. We're getting through our struggle. He said, but listen, we will get blessed if we don't give up.
Y'all ain't talking back to me like I thought you would.
He said, man, it's assured that we will reap a harvest of blessing. Why? Because God promised. Anybody still believe in the promises of God? Can I tell you, everybody's hand didn't go up? It's a simple thing. I didn't ask you to do nothing but agree on the word. Didn't we ask that question this morning? Do we all agree that Jesus is Lord? We all agree that his word is his word? Then how can you not vote on confirmation word? The Lord says you will reap a harvest if you don't give up.
Can't you walk around here with a leather resignation in your back pocket? Can't you walk around here talking about, I'm just going to step back for a while? That's quitting.
Amen. The Bible says,
can I talk about the Bible? Is that all right?
Or should I quote Oprah or somebody? Should I say Dr. Phil said? Would that make a difference? No, it wouldn't make no difference. The Bible says that you must be steadfast, unmovable.
He said, you know, you can do this. Because you've been thoroughly equipped. Stay with me here, Deacon Walker, unto every good work.
Don't nobody want to hear your excuses no more. Don't nobody want to hear your whining and complaining. Don't nobody want to watch you sucking your teeth and rolling your eyes. You have been thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Get busy.
Everybody ain't shouting with us. Some of y'all done turned off the phone and disconnected me. Well, I'm standing in your driveway. I ain't going nowhere. I'm trying to help you.
You've been thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Paul says to the church, we gonna get this thing, man. We just can't give up. And he tells them, he says to them, he said, you can't do like some other folk have done. You can't do like some other folk who left us, quit on us, talking about they going to do ministry somewhere else and still ain't doing nothing. Come on, talk back to me.
I'm leaving because I can't get nothing done at Brookville. I'm going over to thus and thus, and I'm gonna help over there.
And we went over there to check on you, and you wasn't there that Sunday. We went, maybe you like Bible study on Wednesday. We went there that Wednesday. You weren't there Wednesday either. We sent out to check on you, and you wasn't doing nothing over there. None. And then when we saw you in Kroger and asked you concerning your ministry, you told us to mind our own business.
You've been thoroughly equipped. It is right here. Right here in the text. The text says, the Bible, the book.
says that you have an opportunity. It's late now. I don't have time. But what I want to talk about today, that was the introduction. I hadn't started preaching yet. I haven't, because I ain't gave a title. I can't start preaching without a title. Good pastoral ethics require a title. So, Darlene, the title of the sermon is Dealing with Possibility in Problematic Places. That's what I want to talk about. Dealing with possibility. In other words, what I'm saying is you got to handle your business even in hard places. It's problematic around here when folk don't come to Bible study. It's problematic when folk don't tithe. It's problematic when folk don't say amen and the pastor about to pass out preaching. It's problematic when you got a house divided. Your wife loves the Lord, but you don't. It's problematic when you go to church, but your other family members don't. It's problematic when you're trying to live as lights and folks trying to snuff out your light. It's problematic when you want to praise God and stand up and the folk behind you want you to sit down. They ain't paying that much attention. It's problematic when the whole house won't say yes. It's problematic. But even in all of the problematic stuff, there's still possibility. There's still some God stuff in there somewhere. He says, you know, there's an opportunity. Because it's late, and I know some of y'all can't stay in church past 1 o'clock. Not turning into something else. Let me do this. If you don't care to remember anything else I'm gonna say for the rest of the time I might talk today, I may just have mercy on y'all and send you on your way. But if you don't remember anything, I've already preached enough in the introduction, really. That was enough right there. Trust me, that would get me a revival somewhere. But if you don't remember nothing else I say, if you tune out, tune back in, turn me back on, plug back up for a minute, and let me say this. Because if you don't remember anything else I say, please remember this, that opportunity requires stewardship. If you don't remember nothing else, please remember. And all I'm saying is, whatever God has given you, you got to take care of it. You got to do something with it. And what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying everybody in here ought to be a better steward. Y'all are too gifted, too blessed, too forgiven for this ministry to be in poverty, full of procrastinations, full of powders and whiners, because you don't want to be a good steward. God has already been good to you. Your cup already overflowing. Your body's already been healed. Your mind is already fixed. You just got to be a better steward. There's no church more highly favored than our church. That would make God unfair. There are no people smarter than you. That would make God unfair. He says, I treat everybody the same. It's in the word. He's no respecter of person. The just and the unjust, all the same to him. Why? Because they're all his. You don't remember anything else I said? Opportunity requires stewardship. I put a sub note here, Audrey. I put a slash mark. Just carry. You know what that means. That means There's another thing I want to say. What I wanted to say, but I know how y'all are sensitive and y'all are feeble in the ears, but what I really want to say is that opportunity demands stewardship. That's what I really want to say. And I know how some of y'all is. There he go. I knew it. I started not to come because I knew it. Well, if you know so much, you preach next Sunday. Maybe you can grow the church since you know how the people feel. Here it is. I'll just give one point, and then we'll stop. It's 1 o'clock. Everybody in the room right now, just focus on me. Don't look at nobody. I need you to understand something. You are not here for the ministry of excuses. And you need to stop making them. Because that's the trick of the devil. You're not here to pout. You're not here to whine. You're here to make it happen. That's why God put you where he put you. That's why you're sitting right where you're sitting. That's your assignment. Any of y'all ever flew on Southwest Airlines? I like Southwest Airlines because you don't get a seat assignment on Southwest. But there's a trick. The trick is purchase your ticket and then buy what they call priority boarding. They won't tell you that you're getting a seat. But you can be in the A group. See, they have A, B, and C. Okay, y'all ever heard of Southwest? Okay. So you buy your ticket. Here's what you do. You buy your ticket, and you pay the fare. They have a fare called Want to Get Away, Business Class, blah, blah, blah. And all the seats are open. And then after you buy your ticket, then you can buy what they call priority boarding. It costs like $20. So you buy that. Then they have another thing you can buy called business class. Now, here's the trick. You're on the same plane, but you get to choose your class. Y'all missed the shot. Ain't no low class, so to speak, but it's business class. And with business class, the first 15 seats are set aside for folk who buy that. Now, if you buy priority, you can get from 15, you'll be A, 16, 17, 18, 19, 17. And so if nobody buys business class, what you'll do, you go to the check-in and they'll recalibrate your class or your seating. You'll move. If nobody bought enough business class, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you walk up there and say, listen, I had priority boarding. I was A, 16. And they'll say, oh, well, you're now A, 2. Because nobody bought it. Nobody took advantage of it. You don't pay no more money. You just get moved up. Okay. And so when you do that, other folks start looking at you going, how he did that? And then you'll notice that other folk will walk up there. Because people are always listening. Because how people hear determines what they do. Stay with me. And so if there is no great noise coming from this place and people don't see us advancing, they just stay in the line. It is our opportunity to bump up the class. It's our opportunity to move further in the line. You can't keep sitting around here doing what everybody else do and expect something different. You got to move up because you want to move up. Everybody in this room has a God who has offered you opportunity. Every time and everything the Lord has ever afforded to you is opportunity. It's just what you do with it. Now, let's look at this very quickly and I'll point one. That's all I get, just point one. There are several things that Paul says to the church at Corinth that ought not be overlooked. Can I help you with these? Can y'all loan me a few minutes? Is that all right? Anybody who got to go, if you really got to go, raise your hand. Let me see who you are. I knew you weren't going to do that. Amen. Amen. Here it is. Wait a minute. I'm just going to do one sub-point, one setup point, Sandra, and I'll let them go. Everybody in here right now today, let me give you the first thing you all learn how to do if you're gonna go forward. You got to learn how to pray over problematic places. That's a shout in a big city church. I already told you we got some stuff going on around here, but instead of trying to run away from it, you got to pray over it. Pray over the deacons. Pray over the trustees. Pray over the finances. Instead of saying, I'm getting out of there because every time I turn around, they talking about money. Every time I turn around, he fussing about who ain't coming to Bible study. Every time I turn around. No. Don't turn around. Face it. Fall on your knees and pray over it. Next time pastors start complaining about something, somebody ought to start praying. Lord, you hear my pastor. Here you go again. He's struggling with it, Lord, but you got to help him because he really, you know, that was instead of sitting there going, because if the ceiling could be rubbed with elbows, wouldn't be no paint on it. Y'all are figuring that. You got to learn. All of us ought to be, you know why I know it, Sister Carrie? Because the Bible says that we ought to be praying without ceasing. This ain't going to get wished away. Got to pray over it. This is our house. I like that Armor Hall commercial. You know what I mean? Under Armour. We will protect this house. They be stomping up because this is my house. And it may have its problems, but it's still got potential. And rather than resign or step back or sit over in the corner, I'll keep praying. Because I just believe that prayer changes things. Yeah, it's problematic, James, but we're praying. As long as we're praying, God hears us. And I'm convinced we'll soon hear from God. You got to learn how to pray over problematic places, and you got to learn how to stop crying so much. What you really need to do is blow your nose, dry your eyes, wipe your face, put on your big boy, big girl britches, and get on back in there. That's what you got.
He hurt my feelings. He's talking about me.
Blow your nose. Wipe it like this. Go and wipe your eyes with the same thing you just wiped your nose with. You do realize that's what you just did. And they go, ain't gonna hurt my feelings. You might have had me today, but tomorrow I'm gonna be different. You won't preach the same sermon to me next time and have me saying, oh no. You'll be able to hear me say, amen, pastor, because it worked for me, it'll work for them. You gotta gird up your loins. Stand up on it. Face your own fear. You leaving here don't change you. You just change your location. You crying here, Jelly, you're going to be crying over there. Amen. Blow your nose. Wipe your face. Pull up your britches and go ahead now. Pray. Father, forgive us. We have not done well, Lord. You blessed us. And look at what we did with it. But God, if you give us this day, pray over problematic places. The second thing in the sub-point, and we'll leave you alone, is you got to learn how to press you thought of something else? No, that's it. You got to learn how to press. Some of y'all are too casual. You know, man, don't make me no different. Whatever they do, that's all right with me. I don't, man. That ain't pressing. Don't it matter to you what the Lord going to see when he come back? Doesn't it matter to you what God's going to say to us? You got to press. Paul said, I ain't coming for no breeze. He said, I want to stay a while. I don't want it to be like the last time. It's right there in the text. He said, you know, I don't want to just go. I want to stay a while. I want to establish my presence because I know in this place there's potential. He said, I can leave Macedonia. I can go on. I can go back to Ephesus. But I want to stay here. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to stop. Can I ask you a question? There's some good stuff in here. Maybe. But can I ask you a question? Can I, this is going to be risky, but I'm feeling it. Can I get the folk that have made up your mind right here, right now, that you're going to press to just wave at me? I don't need nobody to lie to me here. If you're going to stay, I need to know who's going to stay. I need to know who's going to put their foot down, put their hands to the plow, and say, Pastor, I'm going to press. I know we got problems. I know everything ain't right. And I know I might be part of the problem, but I have made up my mind that I'm going to press. Because I know that God going to turn it around. Can I find my way home somehow? I just want you to understand that God is still interested in us. God is still looking over the balconies of heaven at 1916 Florida Avenue and saying, I got something there. I hear the Lord saying that many may have walked away from me. Some have turned away. Some have given up the ghost. But at 1916, I got a remnant. I got a few folk that don't mind staying late and coming early. I got a few folk that don't mind tithing rather than tipping. I got a few folk that don't mind singing rather than sitting on the side. Why? I got some folk down there that have made up their mind to God be the glory. They're not waiting for the bigger church. They're not waiting for the sanctuary to be painted. They're not waiting for the parking lot to get paid. They're not waiting for a new sign. They're waiting for nothing now because they've made up their mind that I'm going to press. Why? Because Jesus died for me. Right here in the Bible, he said to them, Father, I brought you glory. How? By being faithful. Jesus said, I've completed the work that you gave me here on earth. I did what you told me to do, and I don't have no problem with what it costs me. Can I finish my talk here? I don't have no problem with what it costs me. He said, Daddy, everything you told me to do, I did it. It was problematic to be crucified, problematic to be beaten, problematic to have my beard plucked out, problematic to be beaten with a cat of nine tails, problematic, but I kept on going. And Daddy, I want you to know that everything you entrusted to me as an opportunity, I was a good steward over it. And I need you to understand, beloved of God, you don't have to worry about being beaten. You don't have to worry about your beard being plucked out. You don't have to worry about being stretched out. You don't have to worry about nails in your hand or being pierced in your side. You don't have to worry about a crown being placed on your head. But what you ought to do is be thankful. You ought to be thankful that he died for you. You ought to be thankful that he stretched out for you. You ought to be thankful that he was pierced for you. You ought to be thankful that he shed his blood for you. And because he died for us, we ought to be able to live for him. Because he gave up for us, we ought to be able to give up for him. Because he was, we ought to become. Because
ain't no secret what God can do. I've seen it for myself. You've seen it in the face of your children. You've seen it in the face of your husband and your wife. Why? Because the Bible says that we live because of him. There's an opportunity. You got to pray over problematic places. And you got to press. Should the Lord say the same, come back next week, I'll give you the easy parts. But can I tell you something? We're ready to go. Just 18 minutes past the hour. That's not too bad, is it? I mean, that's not too bad, is it? 18 minutes, I mean. You was at a concert, you'd want them to keep it going. But let me give you something that's incredible here. I see it right here in the text. Paul was right when he says that every disciple, watch this now, must engage in the press. He's right. In other words, whomever you're sitting near ought to be a co-laborer. Not a troublemaker. Don't throw rocks and hide your hands. Don't wait till you get outside and declare to your neighbor, see, that's what I'm talking about. No. In fact, as I said this morning in Christian Academy, there's some folk you ought to stop listening to. I don't care if it's your sister, your husband, they talking crazy against the work of God. You ought to tell them, you better hush. I don't want to hear that stuff. As I said before, and I'll say one more time, you're going to lose some family, some friends. You're going to lose a little fortune. You're going to lose some fame. But don't you lose your faith. You got to hold on to that. And anything that disrupts the flow of your faith between you and God, you need to get rid of that. You got to press. He said everybody ought to be doing this. Even the Lord says when the disciples questioned him about the ministry and what was going on, he said, listen, I've got folk y'all don't know nothing about that's doing this thing. And so I want to encourage you that there are possibilities to be dealt with, but they are in problematic places. And this is our problematic place. But it can be fixed. It can be better. And you know how it gets better? You get better. You get better. Don't look at Deacon McKenzie. Look at Lewis. Don't look at Addison. Look at Starling. Matter of fact, here's a pastoral decree. Mind your own business. You deal with you and let God deal with everybody else. Stop talking about what everybody else ain't doing and you get busy. There are possibilities. Nobody has an excuse. Nobody. You're still alive. There's still a possibility. God is not through with you yet. Let's stand on our feet. We'll let you go. Realize that we all need a cheerleader. But you need a sound cheerleader. Don't need nobody trying to fake you out. Just saying what they think you want to hear. That don't help you none. You could have said that yourself. Amen. There are three things that are critical. Lord, let us live long enough. We'll get to it in the week to come. But let them tell you what three things are critical. The first thing is that you need to know yourself. You really need to know yourself. When Paul talks to this church, the letters that he writes to them, he writes them not that they would see Paul, but that they would see themselves. The second thing is you've got to be true to yourself because you know how you work. You know your level of tenacity. You know your level of endurance. When Paul talks to Timothy and Titus about these matters. He knows each one of them is different. He knows Barnabas. He understands the relationship that he has with John Mark. He knows how everybody is, and he only tries to encourage them because they know themselves. And then the third thing, which really should have been the first thing, but I use it as the third thing, is that you really got to love the Lord. You really got, in order to get through your problematic places, you've got to love the Lord. Because only the Lord is going to see you through. The Lord is my helper, and he will not fail me. And so I want to encourage you. We come back, we'll talk a little bit more, but there are possibilities. And I want you to understand something, beloved of God. We don't run no sideshow here. You want to be in a church where folk going to promise you stuff all the time, make you feel good, and don't none of that stuff never come to pass, this ain't the church for you. But if you want to be in a place where we're going to be honest and grow and get greater and God get greater glory, oh, man, I can help. Yes, sir, I can help you. And I will tell you that there are hard lessons in this book. Those people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, that's a hard lesson. Because of simple what? Disobedience. That's what happened to them. The famine that came was because of disobedience. The wars that were enacted upon them, when God loosed the Babylonians on them, it was because of their own disobedience. Not because he didn't love them. He did it to bring them closer to him. And so I would suggest that we don't want to go through floods and wars and have people set on us. Let's not be disobedient. Two things you ought to always remember, and I'll let you go. I'll do the invitation. But let me give, this is rich. It's good preaching, but I'm going to give it to you now. When they left Egypt, where were they going? Promised land. Okay? So here's how it should have been. They should have left Egypt and ended up in the promised land. But what happened? They left Egypt en route to the promised land and spent 40 years in the wilderness. What are you saying, Pastor? Don't end up in the wilderness when God is pointing you to a promised land. Don't end up in the wilderness. God didn't tell Moses to get my people and let's get lost. He said, take them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Ain't nothing wrong with God's GPS. Don't end up in the wilderness. Don't mess this up. We are on our way to a place called promise. And nothing less will do. Because with opportunity, there's demand of stewardship. And we've got to be better stewards. If you're here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, I want you to come. If you're here today, this is the choice that you got to make. This is not initially about joining Greater Brookville. This is about giving your life to Christ. I'm not trying to rush it. I'm just telling you, this is the choice you have to make. We talked about this this morning, and it's a decision that you have to make. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you ought to come right now. Here's another one. If you accepted him as Lord and Savior and didn't keep your vow, you ought to come now and say, God, I'm sorry, because he's a reconciliation God. Never miss the theology of reconciliation. It is the most important theology next to salvation in all the word of God, that we'll be reconciled unto God. And if you haven't accepted him, you ought to come right now. Give your life to Christ. If you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, you ought to come right now and say yes. If you've already accepted him as Lord and Savior on this first Sunday in 2016, when we have already raised our hand and said we're going to press and we're going to do better, we're going to stick and stay, then I need you to reaffirm that vow. Right where you stand, you don't have to move, but just reaffirm that vow that, Lord, I'm going to do it. Because if you cannot say it with your mouth, you're not going to believe it in your heart. And it certainly ain't going to be applied to your hands. And if you need God to put his arms around you one more time and remind you how much he loves you, God bless you, James Reed. God bless you. If you need God to remind you how much he loves you, you ought to come right now and say, God, you know what? I'm going to take advantage of this new opportunity. I'm going to take restoration seriously. I'm going to take revival seriously. I'm going to take repentance. God, I'm going to come to you now, and now will be forever. Because I realized that I kept on going only because you let me keep going. You didn't kill me in my sins. You didn't leave me in a dark place. But God, you gave me another chance. And I want to say thank you. Because I lift my hand to you today and said, God, I'm available to use. Use me, Lord. I need you to do that. I need somebody to make a statement today. Only if you choose to do so, that you're going to commit your will unto the Lord today. Not going to sit around here and go, well, I'll come back next Sunday. He didn't shout like I thought he would. I'm going to come in here. And everybody jumping. No, you jump. You got to make a decision today. You've already accepted Jesus Christ. Wonderful. But you need to make your calling and election sure. I need you to come on and make that affirmation today. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Because you don't know the day or the hour. And we're running out of time. We've only got a few hours left in this day. And this is the only day we know we got. And trust me, by the end of this day, some folk will not have finished it. For the Lord will have called them home. Don't sit around here thinking, well, I'll just come back next Sunday. This is the only day you got. All of us got the same amount of time. It's called now. And lastly, I want to say, if you're looking for a church home, we open our doors to you. Because we want to grow, and you're going to help us grow. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship. If you will come, you've decided you want to be a part of our family, to train with us and to grow with us and to stretch with us, we welcome you today if you'll just come. Give God a chance in this place to change your life. Our doors are open. If there are none, then again, I encourage you to get in the press. Come back next week. Lord, say the same. We're going to be getting some painting done, so you can't use the sanctuary this week. Please respect that. Give them an opportunity to do what they have to do. And so it is, beloved of God, that when we turn from this place, when we come back again, it's going to look new. But ain't no need of the place looking new and the folk acting old. So we need to be new, too. Amen. God bless you. But James ain't changed his name. I know his name, and this is easy. But we love James. James is certainly a wonderful young fellow. We have been a part of James' life for a long time. And we're glad to have you in the house, man. We're going to take care of you. Mama, he in good hands. I can take care of you. We thank God for your choice today. Can I get some brothers to come and stand with Brother James today? We're going to form a union. You all are going to be James' caretaker. We're going to put him in Greater Brookville Hospice for a while, and we can help him. I think most of these fellas, James, you're familiar with. I think Deacon Walker might not be familiar. He's behind you. Had you met Deacon Walker before? Okay, very good. All the rest of these cats familiar. Amen. But I'm thankful to God for you. I never stop praying for you. I always pray for you. I thank God that you're looking good, man. I told him that he's looking good. And you just got to keep your eyes on what's important. The fight doesn't really change too much. It's just who's in your corner. You got a good corner man in Christ Jesus. And I wanted these brothers to come stand with you just for the sake of not standing alone. You got a little bit of a young and intermediate and not so young and intermediate. But, man, I'm thankful for you, and we praise God for your life. And for your mother, we thank God for her being with you. But what I want to say to you is press. Whatever you do, press. Fight your way through. Don't quit. Don't give up. It's hard for everybody. Everybody in this room right now going through something. Everybody. Everybody in here got somebody sick. Everybody knows somebody with cancer. Everybody got bills. It's just crazy, man. But one thing we know, without faith, we never would have made it. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Let's all come together. Make your way to the front. If you'll pray with us, we're going to let you go. Amen. It's time to go. And we thank God for you. James Reed is a good man. I trust God for you. Got a good grip, too. Don't try to outshake me. Amen. Come on, come on. We're going to pray together. I know you're ready to go. I'm thankful to God that you hung in there. Some folk couldn't stay. Some folk wouldn't stay, but you're here. And to God be the glory. God's going to do great things in your life. That's just what he does. He's a God of blessings. Numerous blessings. That's why when David said, "My cup runneth over," man, that got me excited. And you know, David wasn't expecting God to do no less. He knew God would come through in a big way. How many know God always comes through in a big way? Amen. Okay, about 9 or 10 of y'all don't know that. Well, I got news for you. God always comes through in a big way. Always. Amen. Man, God bless you today. Bless you. Can I tell you something? I know y'all ready to go, but can I tell you something? God has never broke a promise. I know that wasn't deep, but I heard the Holy Spirit tell you. God has never broke a promise. There's a promise on every one of your lives. Yeah. And he's not going to break his promise. No matter how raggedy the world might look at you, he's going to keep his promise. Boy, they're going to look at you someday and say, "Man, look what the Lord has done." And some of us can't wait till that day comes, can we? We want to be used like that. And I know God will do it. So you just deal with it. Amen. This week, that's going to be your little watchword. When things happen, just tell yourself, "I just got to deal with it. You just got to deal with it." Because there are possibilities, even in problematic places, but you just got to deal with it. So when stuff happens today, don't freak out. Just got to deal with it. And if God be for us, he's more. I know that's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, your children spread out all over this room. A house united. A house on one accord. A house with one agenda. Is a great house. Our prayers for Brother Reed are simple. That Lord, you'll give him this day. That he can fight the good fight. That he can gather up his strength afresh and press. Oh God, life throws stuff at you. That's why you're a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Life tries to trip us up. Get us off the beaten path and make us think we can't make it. Make us think you mad at us and that you've cut us off and you don't care anymore. But the devil is a liar. We know that trick. If God be for us is our encouragement, because we know that you're with us. The Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. And so our prayer for Brother James is, God, that you'll keep him in the press. Gird him up, Lord, and put a hedge round about him. And just like Paul said in the letter to the Corinthian church, there are going to be those who oppose him. But God, let him keep his eyes on you. He's going to feel good today and want to tell folk that I got myself back in the church. I got my business straight. And some knucklehead going to go, yeah, right, okay. You done said that before. But God, keep him focused. He ain't the only one that said it before. But thank you, Lord, that he said it again. Keep him in the way. And God bless Brother Thomas as he takes on a new challenge. A great work, Lord, a needed work. You know all about it. And I believe, God, you've equipped him for the assignment. That your name be glorified. God, give him patience. Give him, God, temperance. And give him, God, all that he could need. Even what he don't know to ask for. God, put it in his surprise bag. That when he reaches in, he goes, another blessing. And not only for him, but for so many others. I see a great people standing around this sacred place. And it is our time to make our declarations, to be now more determined than ever. And Lord, we're going to change this house. We're going to shape it up. It's going to be stronger. It's going to be more visible, more vibrant. We're going to grow. Because we have determined ourselves to not look back. We're going to deal with what's wrong all the while making it right. Let your name be glorified. The families that are here, the sons, the daughters, moms and dads, grandma and grandpa. Oh God, bring us higher. Make us stronger. Make us wiser. God, refresh the anointing over every life, from the youngest to the eldest. And Lord, heal us of our sicknesses. Sickness in the mind, sickness in the body, sickness all around us. Heal us of jealousy and envy. Heal us of making excuses and procrastinating. Heal us for not praying as we ought. Heal us that we might be whole. Thank you, God, for every child under the sound of my voice. Give us this day. Traveling mercies now, favor over the highways and byways until we're able to come together again. Kiss us, put your arms around us. Make it all right. To your name be the glory and the honor. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Amen. God bless you today and forevermore. Shake some hands, hug some people, say something nice to them. They've been waiting to hear some good news. God bless you. God bless you.